Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Rad. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the show. We are going to have a great show for you today.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Feeling thirsty? You might already be dehydrated. Enter Liquid IV. Behind every great-tasting sip is a science-backed formula of electrolytes and nutrients made to quickly replenish fluids lost from sweat. Every stick is powered by 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Redefine the refresh with Liquid IV, also available in sugar-free. Tear, pour, live more. Visit us at liquidiv.com.
Hey, I hope everybody's having a great hump day. That's what it is today. It is hump day, and I hope everybody is enjoying it. Oh, I got to tell you, the 3 videos that I had today, I just got through ripping the last one. And I'm telling you, I came this close and getting it all prepared to include, to get it everywhere. Oh, my God, I'm out of breath mentally. You know, it's not really, I don't have to go out and jog or anything to do it. But madre mia, it was hard, but we got it, we got it, we got it, we got it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to first salute all our people. Like Brother Ray is in the house. Brother Ray is in the house from Third Ward, Houston. Paul Fleming Sr. is in the house from Atlanta, Georgia. Melanie Keelan is in the house from Barcelona, Spain. Bruce Ballard is in the house from Kingwood, Texas. We also have Michael Rudden in the house from Brooklyn, New York, and the beautiful one and only Yvette Avery Herod from Atlanta, Georgia. My mind has not completely fried yet. According to Paul Fleming Sr., Russia vetoed a draft resolution before the United Nations Security Council that would have called on countries to prevent a nuclear arms race in outer space. Yeah, they just want to rattle this stuff. You know, these are things that affect, you know, any country that decides to blow up a bomb up in space with all, they are taking not only America out, they're taking all the satellites out, period, right? Because you don't have control over where all those things are. And a spick of paint in space is equivalent to a bullet doing a hell of a lot of damage. Let me tell you, if you ever see on a thick piece of glass what a speck of paint can do as far as shattering it in space, you will be surprised. Kinetic energy at those speeds are humongous. So, look, that is self-destruction. Anybody who does certain kinds of explosions believe in self-destruction. Anyway, Paul Fleming says, I'm not saying we shouldn't worry about how China might be using TikTok to steal our data and manipulate us, but why aren't we at least as worried about U.S. billionaires who own the other apps stealing our data? Thank you. Thank you. And you know what? They have proven to be more disastrous to us, right? Look. China is no good. I mean, no government, the leadership of no government is really pure, right? Not at all. This stuff with TikTok is a joke. It is a joke. It's a rush to have to take away competition from, you know, to competition from the rest. And Bruce Pollard is absolutely right. Don't forget about electromagnetic pulse. That will fry all exposed lines that are not covered in coating, you know, to prevent that magnetism from going through. It can destroy our electrical system. Our electrical system is not the best anyway. All right, Rudden says, Kessler syndrome, the more objects destroyed in orbit, the more dangerous space flight becomes. Yeah, exactly. Because again, you have stray objects. And the thing about it is this. When people think about space, there are rules in space, right? Orbit, your orbit layer, all that good stuff, right? But here's the thing. You can have, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, right? We should really have laws, international laws in the directionality of orbits. I don't know if it's there or not. I must admit, I don't know that. The problem is, the web of orbiting in space is ridiculous. You can have an orbit in the XY plane, in a Z plane. I mean, in all these different planes, you can have orbits. And so you could have somebody in the same orbit with you. You're going in this direction and he's coming here. And if just the right time, you're in the same place at the same time. Kaboom. Anyway. All right. Also, Paul Femi says, for 5 decades, the southern United States have been an attractive location for foreign automaker open plants. That's thanks to generous tax breaks and cheaper non-union labor. Now the United Auto Workers has dealt a serious blow to that model, winning a landslide union victory after decades of failing to unionize auto workers in the South. It's the best thing that has ever happened. And, you know, Paul, I take exception. Well, like you're quoting something. That's not a bad thing. These workers are going to make more money, and that means there's more money to circulate in these communities. That means the restaurants are going to do better. The grocery stores are going to do better. The entertainment venues are going to do better. People don't think that having high-paid workers are good for the economy. It's great for the economy. Come on, people. Let's not let these people put our minds where the minds do not belong. Again, like I said, not because you call yourself a businessman mean you have anything upstairs. My contention is business people aren't necessarily smart anyway. Anyway. All right. Mike Cisak says, Dexter Taylor, a black man, has been convicted in New York City for doing something entire illegal, being a gunsmith. Seems Democrats don't believe in the Second Amendment. I bet there's more to that story, and I'm pretty sure that Brother Rudnin is here to refute that. I can't do all of this and look it up at the same time. So, Rudnin, get on to Mike Cisak's false claim. We know that there is more to the story. So, please tell us what the story is, my brother Rudnin. Let's educate Mr. Cisak. Thank you. All right, let's see what else we need to do. Because remember, that's what we are here for, to educate each other. Educate each other. And yes, Paul Fleming, I always knew that you agreed with the union. You didn't have to tell me that because I know who you are. Remember, we've spoke several times as well. Hell, you've been interviewed on Politics Done Right. All right, let's see what else we got here. Actually, let me see who are the people that have been interviewed on Politics Done Right. We had Paul Fleming that's been interviewed on Politics Done Right. We also have Bruce Pillard that's been interviewed on Politics Done Right. We also had Yvette Avery Herod that's been interviewed on Politics Done Right. Let me see. Melanie Keelan hasn't been interviewed on Politics Done Right, but she comes to our live Ask Egberto Anything often. So I feel like, you know, she's been talking to us vivo a vivo in vivo. Okay, let's see what else we got here. What else we got? Who else we have in the house? Paul Fleming says, breaking, Trump, Giuliani, Meadows are unindicted conspirators in Michigan fake election case. Hearing reveals that Michigan AG last year charged 16 Republicans with being fake electors. It's amazing. You know, they're always pointing fingers, but they're the ones that always commit these crimes. We know it. We know it. And guess what, guys? We know it. All right. Let's see where we go from here. Let's see. Why is my something is wrong with this? Let me do a refresh on my YouTube monitor in the YouTube channel. All right. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with, hey guys, is YouTube up or is YouTube not up? Is YouTube up? Because I am seeing some, maybe I have the wrong channel going. Let's see. I must have the wrong channel going. Let's see. Bear with me, guys, as like I said, I was a bit razzled today because I got the last video made just about the right time. And voila, it is there now. Where are all the people for YouTube? A lot of people are missing for YouTube. Where are you guys on YouTube? Did the email not go out? Let me check the emails to make sure that they went out. Where are all my YouTube peeps? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they are there. Maybe they didn't like the title. All right. Let's get busy. We're going to start today with, as you know, the Supreme Court today is actually contemplating, they're considering something that's happening in Idaho. I want you guys to hear this case, and then we'll take it. I call it, why do we need to get rid of old men on the Supreme Court? I want you to listen to this, and then we will take it on el otro lado, the other side. If you want to know one reason why you need diversity in every aspect of our government, if you want to understand why it's time to get rid of several of the old folk who don't learn to change with time, or not only, I don't even want to say change with time, but as time allowed us to be freer in being able to say the things that we need to say, or how things really are without the fear of offending the master, why it is time that we get rid of people. I want you to listen to what the Supreme Court watcher, she listened to the debate earlier today, or the deliberations earlier today, between the Supreme Court justices and the lawyers who are trying to overturn the Idaho law that pretty much puts the life of mothers, put the lives of women at risk, because they are so strict against having any doctor give an abortion under any conditions. I want you to listen to this, and then we'll take it on the other side.
You've been covering the court for years. I want to start with you on this. What was your sense of where this might be going?
I mean, I can't tell you where it's going, Katie. It's hard to tell how some of the really crucial justices, particularly John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh, where they landed today. I can tell you, I'm trying to think of a more gendered argument. I can't in my entire life think of an argument in which every single woman, including Amy Coney Barrett, including the Solicitor General, Elizabeth Prelogger, was talking about preeclampsia, was talking about ectopic pregnancy, was talking about blood and what it is to be helicoptered out of states. And you had every single male justice, with almost no exceptions. And as you just heard, the attorney for the state of Idaho talking about, you know, the Hyde Amendment, talking about, you know, the spending clause, talking about these unbelievably, in some cases, not briefed legal questions just so they wouldn't have to talk about women's health. It was quite staggering, the divide between what one half of the court was talking about today and the other was like nothing I have ever witnessed, including in Dobbs.
Notice what she said. Not one of the men really talked about what really happens to women, childbearing women, whether it be preeclampsia, whether it be hemorrhaging, whether it be all the different things women suffer. Only women can suffer in childbirth or in getting pregnant or whatever. They didn't touch it. They were just simply antiseptically academic in what they were talking about. And even the conservative woman on the Supreme Court, she asked the bodily functions. She asked and all the women were concerned about the female body and what the female body was going through. Don't you think if they were talking about prostates or something like that, these confounded male old judges would actually do something about it? But those cases don't even have to come to the Supreme Court, because nobody's going to mess with a man's private parts. Nobody's going to control what that guy can do, because we are still living in a patriarchy, a male-dominated society. So again, what the courtroom, I can't remember her name right now, what she had to say was spot on. Why is it that just these four women on the Supreme Court had any concern over that woman's body and that woman's health? Unfortunately, Barrett, the conservative on the Supreme Court, she was one of them who overturned Roe v. Wade. Wasn't she intelligent enough to understand the repercussions and what that would have led to? So while she is concerned about women's health, she made her ideological bent make her make a silly decision. And had she stuck with the other three women, there's a good chance that this thing would not have been overturned, because Roberts would have probably joined the fold. Anyway, folks, absolutely, folks. Anybody want to call in? 281-823-7747. Again, that number is 281-823-7747. If anybody wants to talk about this, but I found it ironic. I listened to some of the Supreme Court deliberations today. And again, it was sad to see how antiseptic, yes, it's true, the men, it's like they were scared to touch anything about the tribulations that the women will can and do go through with their bodies, etc. It was sad. It was difficult to listen to. I can't tell you how much. Anyway, folks, give me a call, 281-823-7747. Let me continue reading some of your... thank you, Rudnin. Rudnin, of course, found out that, once again, Mike Cisak, like Brother Mike, I tell you, a lot of folks on the right, that's all you do, misinform, ill-inform, or you allow others to misinform you. It's not a good place to be. And listen to CSAC now. Union will kill the auto worker jobs in the South. Really? In other words, you are saying auto worker jobs in the South can only occur if we stop paying good wages. Wow. How much do we hate ourselves? How much do we hate ourselves if that's what you believe? But anyway, so CSAC went ahead and he said, Dexter Taylor, a black man, have been I don't know why he had to put black men in there for. I don't know why, because this is supposed to be a subject about guns. But you see a lot of, you know, subliminal stuff in this message here. Has been convicted in New York City for doing something entirely legal, being a gunsmith. Entirely legal? So I guess somehow... he got convicted. A judge upholds it. It's legal. Anyway, Michael Rudnin, our great researcher, found out that, you know, Mike, once again, Mike Cisak attempted to mislead the room. But when you come to politics done right, we are loaded with folks that are always honest, educated, and willing to go do the research. Thank you, Mr. Rudnin. Here is Mr. Rudnin's response. You're late to the party, NBC News from 2022. And again, you see these things come up because even though it's old, right, it comes up because that is how the right wing gets its people mobilized. They try to search the internet for anything that comes close to what they want to talk about. They mislead you and they get it on a bandwagon and everybody jump and run with it like puppets. So here's what it says. Ghost gun bus reveals arsenal at New York City apartment. At least 13 completed guns were recovered from the Brooklyn man's home. Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez said this defendant allegedly acquired a massive arsenal of homemade ghost guns that are as real and dangerous as traditional firearms. By assembling guns from kits, unfinished parts, or 3D printed components, those who possess ghost guns evade critically important background checks and registration requirements. And because they have no serial number, they are untraceable. So here are the people that believe in law and order, supposedly, want there to be guns out there for criminals to hold on to and murder with impunity. And then they say they're for law and order. Come on, man. All right. Let's see what else we got. The Secret Service has held meetings and started planning for what to do if Donald Trump were to be held in contempt in his criminal hush money trial and Judge Merchan opted to send him to short-term confinement. I think what Merchan will do is sentence him to jail and postpone it till after the election. And as he keeps doing bad things, add more time to the jail time, because we don't want to stop the court proceedings. That's what he wants. He wants to be a martyr. So what we're going to, because, you know, he's old, he's beat up, he's looked tired. None of his family is there to support him. Nobody in his family is in that courthouse with him. And the big crowds that he expected to be in front of that courthouse, where are they? Uh-oh, they didn't show up. The crowds that Donald Trump thought would be there to, we love Trump, we love Trump, they're nowhere to be found. I wonder why. I wonder why. Well, we know why. I mean, it's a clown. All right, let's continue here. Paul Fleming, I'm scrolling down. I'm not going to read everything, Paul. Everybody can read it, a lot of it themselves. But I'm going to read, wrote it, Mike's, because Mike is in an interesting discussion with Mike Cisak, who again is going right now, is losing it. And Mike's, he says, Mike Cisak is demonstrating my point again, not knowing the first thing about the ideologies he spouts. Dude needs to learn the basics. He knows his ideology, but it's okay to know your ideology. But when you are a part of an ideology that is inconsistent, that is the problem. You believe in law and order, but you want to have ghost guns. You believe that the government should stay out of the government should stay out of people's personal lives, but you want the government to control a woman's body. You believe a government should stay out of personal lives, but you want to have laws against sodomy between two consenting adults. Again, you have an inconsistent ideology. And an inconsistent ideology, you can't argue with an inconsistent ideology because there's no framing. Egberto, no, he really doesn't. Mike C. constantly misattributes what ideologies want and are about. Okay, just like Venezuela has done by the left and Cuba by the socialists. Oh, Lord. I'm not going into Venezuela and Cuba today, but that's, because folks who talk about Venezuela and Cuba rarely know what they're talking about. But let's go ahead and go to our second video. And this one is Biden gets a lightning endorsement. And he didn't only get an endorsement, but he got an endorsement. And also the same union who once endorsed Trump now endorsed Biden. I think they endorsed Biden in 20 also, but endorsed Biden. And they just point out that Donald Trump was a charlatan. Listen to this and then we'll take it on the other side. President Biden has received an endorsement from a labor union, a fairly large labor union, in a form that I haven't seen in some time. The kind of wordology the guy uses, and then the immediate, I don't want to call it an attack on Donald Trump, but just some truths about Donald Trump and the worker movement. I want you to listen to this, and then we'll take it on the other side.
At a White House meeting in January of 2017, the head of North America's building trades unions praised then-President Donald Trump for committing to improve the lives of labor workers.
We just had probably the most incredible meeting of our careers with the president and the vice president and the senior staff when the president laid out his plans about how he's going to handle trade, how he's going to invest in our infrastructure, and how he's going to level the playing field for construction workers and all Americans across this country. And then took the time to take everyone into the Oval Office and show them the seat of power in the world. The respect that the President of the United States just showed us. And when he shows it to us, he shows it to 3 million of our members in the United States. Was nothing short of incredible.
Well, that was then, and this is now, and it's one thing to say something, it's another thing to do it. Fast forward to today, where the NABTU is endorsing President Joe Biden's 2024 campaign and launching a nationwide effort to keep Trump from ever returning to the White House. In a statement and an accompanying video, the group's President Sean McGarvey says Trump broke those promises he made to union leaders when he first took office.
You are promising America tonight. You would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
Donald Trump, he's not a good man. He's not a good person. He does not care about anybody in this world except Donald Trump. That's it. That's all.
A very clear and present statement.
Now he's looking to get in that position again to exert revenge on people. I go all the way back to the 80s with Donald Trump and him trying to, you know, get his mug on page 6 of the New York Post. The only difference between the Donald Trump of the 80s and the Donald Trump of today is he feels totally free to let his dark side out. And his dark side is very, very dark and very, very dangerous for this country. We can't let our democracy that we've worked for and we've cherished just disintegrate with the wrong leader at the wrong time. I can tell you that he personally committed to me that he was going to get our pensions fixed. He understood who was affected by these pensions. He assured me, I'm the president of the United States. I'll just call Mitch. I'll tell him to put it in the bill. Is everybody going to love me? Everybody loves me, right? Is everybody going to love me? Yes, Mr. President, you fix the pension. Everybody's going to love you. Well, that was wasted breath. There was lots of other things put in that bill. There was tax cuts put in that bill for rich people. Donald Trump promised infrastructure every year.
Infrastructure is the easiest of all.
Donald Trump was not interested in any of the policy that actually goes along with being president of the United States. Trump was interested in the pomp and circumstance, the plane, the helicopter. It's all about him. Donald Trump is incapable of running anything, let alone the most powerful country in the history of the world. And God help us if he gets anywhere near that White House in the future.
Sean McGarvey joins us now. That was a pretty powerful video and a real turnaround from when you first endorsed former President Trump, or at least listened to him and hoped that his promises would come true. What do you say to hardworking Americans who don't have time to, you know, clue in on every detail of every trial he's involved with or every promise he made, who support Trump almost blindly, but they connect with him, even members of your union? What do you say to them about who this man is?
Well, quite honestly, we're not going to waste a lot of time talking to every American that supports Donald Trump. And we're not going to waste a lot of time with some of our members that support Donald Trump, because we're not going to change their minds. What we're going to concentrate on is the 10 to 15% of our members who we can have a conversation with and explain to them the facts. Give them the projects that they're actually working on, the way they're feeding their family today, you know, how that project came about. It came about through three monumental pieces of legislation after he saved our pensions that are now creating the biggest infrastructure boom this country has ever seen. We call it the infrastructure generation that Joe Biden's creating. And in our opinion, it's the only time in history we can compare it to is when the GIs came back from saving the world from tyranny in World War II and came back to build the middle class in their own lives after they saved the world. That's kind of the scale that we're at right now, with the most pro-union president that this country, pro-worker president that this country has ever seen. So that's the conversations that we're having. We'll have them one-on-one. We'll have them in the key states. And we've got months and months. We've already started, and we're already laying out the facts, and we see the results.
Could he be any clearer? I love what he said. I am not going to bother with those folks that are sycophants, or those folks that the sect within MAGA that we can consider cultish. The part of MAGA that is cannot doesn't see things straight, that is unable to rationalize, that is unable to see fact-based information and say, oh, I didn't know that, now I should change. You see, look, I'll be honest. I am very sure that progressive policies are the best policies for America. Point blank. Now, and it can be proven mathematically, but there are ways to get there that sometimes progressives as well get it wrong. Social dynamics, etc. And there are a thing or two to learn from conservatives. I've learned. And when I've been made to modify my mind after showing me the data or showing me, well, here's a reason why, here's a logical reason why, I don't sit back and freeze in my position and say, oh, no, because progressives have written it this way, this is how it's going to be. No, I modify and take the new information that has been proven to work, and then act accordingly. There are some in the movement, in the MAGA movement, it doesn't matter what type of information, how fact-based information, their tunnel vision into believing what they see, and they put their fingers in their ears. They don't want to hear anything that go against their initial belief that in as much as it's wrong, they want it to be right. This Sean McGarvey, the president of the North America's Building Trade Unions, he said, I am not going to waste my time with the short amount of time we have left with those that cannot rationalize, but I'm going to work with those who are actually open to listen to information and then make their minds up. You know, I always make sure to let people know this. Numbers are absolute. I made several statements. If you want better GDP, you elect Democrats being led by progressives. That is a fact-based information that you can see in the numbers. And it's not just by a little bit GDP growth. It's by a huge amount that under Democrats led by progressives, the economy does much better. It's not up for debate. It's in the numbers. The union, this union guy also realizes that you have to work with people who care about unions, who realize that you first help the middle class. If the middle class makes it, everybody does.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message. A message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.
President. Absolutely. Join us, join us, join us, join us. Aquí estamos, aquí estamos. All right, let's see what else we got here. Mike Cisak continues. Oh, go, Mike. I guess Mike Cisak. Paul Pimmons says, ABC World News, some 15,000 Navajo families cannot access electricity after decades of energy injustice. Navajo Power is trying to change that by installing off-grid solar deep in Navajo Nation. Ginger Z is there as one resident turns on the light. I saw that on a World News report last night. You know, it brought tears to your eyes to see her reaction when she saw light for the first time. E2247 says, 45's valet Walt Nauda was told that if he was charged with lying to FBI, 45 retreat wannabe 47 would pardon him when 47 retreat is 47. Well, you know he's not going to win, so what can I say? What can I say? All right, what else have we got here? What else have we got here that I need to read? Meantime, this is from Rudin, and the President Sean McGarvey also said that. The president promised it. You know, it was funny because I don't see how these people don't see it. Donald Trump had the Senate, the Congress, and the presidency for a while. And every week this was going to be infrastructure week. Never did it. All he could come up with was to give a lot of rich people a big tax break. That's it. That's all he could think about. Let's give rich people more money. So he did. And he forgot about the working class and forgot about giving the get it building out the infrastructure, etc. But what can I say? Rather than you just ignore the conspiracy stuff, we understand that. I mean, you don't. That's just what it is. Conspiracy, right? Conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy. Just look at the sources, and once you see a particular source is conspiratorial, you simply go ahead and disregard it. So anyway, folks, así mismo es la vida. I got some numbers to show you, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play this from the Democratic strategist, and then I'll go to the numbers from the Quinnipiac poll. Let's go ahead and listen to this, and then we will take the rest on the other side. I think I'm going there. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Democratic strategist Simon Rosenberg has been getting a whole lot of kudos lately because, you know what? Unlike all the Democrats that continue to put their tail between their legs, he's always said, you know, I don't think Democrats really have much to worry about. They have a lot of work to do, but not so much to worry about. And why is that? The pathway. I'll explain that afterwards, but listen to what he has to say, and then we'll take it on the other side.
With 7 months to go until Election Day, President Biden is facing headwinds. Inflation has improved, but it's still higher than anybody wants it to be. Voters say the crisis at the border is a top issue, and the president is facing backlash within his own party for how he has handled Israel and Gaza. The polls show an incredibly tight race between Biden and Donald Trump, and there are Democrats out there that are worried. But one presidential campaign veteran is urging his fellow Dems to calm down, and he is here tonight to explain why. I'm very glad to welcome Democratic strategist and consultant Simon Rosenberg. Yeah. I'm a big follower and fan of his work. So we want to start, yeah. Simon, I got to give you credit. You went against the crowd and correctly predicted there would be no red wave in 2022. Yeah. So tell us why you think Democrats are too worried about this election.
Well, first of all, Stephanie, it's great to be here. And I'm also a fan of your work over many years. And it's a pleasure to be here tonight. So my basic take on where things are right now is that Joe Biden has been a good president. The country's better off. We have a strong case for reelection. The Democratic Party is strong, unified, raising tons of money and winning elections all across the country. And what do the Republicans have, right? They have Trump, who's the ugliest political thing that we've ever seen in our lifetime. And their party is an unprecedented dumpster fire. And so when I look at all of this, I believe that over time, and I think the general view of the campaign and people like me, is that as the general election began and people started paying attention and the campaign was turned on, that we would see Joe Biden's approval rating and his numbers come up, his polling numbers come up. And they have, right? I mean, we are in much better shape today than we were a few weeks ago. And I feel like the election is moving in a direction where we should all be quietly confident that we have, as you pointed out, that we got this, that if we execute, we work hard. Look, a lot of things are going to happen. Things are going to change. It always happens in elections. But if we do the work and work hard, I think we should be able to win in November.
Given the, as you put it, unprecedented dumpster fire that is Donald Trump and the Republican Party, why do you think polls are as tight as they are? Do you just think they're not representative? Because when the polls have been this tight, look at the last few elections. They're not even connected to what election results are.
Yeah, I think it's, listen, I think for most Americans, they're not really paying attention. I mean, I don't think that these polls have any predictive value whatsoever. Polls can never predict the future. All they can do is tell you where things are today. And I think vast numbers of Americans are not paying very close attention. And what's important for your viewers to realize is that when voters have had to pay attention, when there have been actual elections, we keep overperforming expectations and Republicans continue to struggle. It's happened again and again, particularly since Dobbs in the spring of 2022. Where I really do think that politics changed in America. I think there was a before and after moment. And in the election since Dobbs, when people are paying attention, we've continued to outperform expectations. The most recent example of that was in New York 3, right? Just nearby New York City, where it was supposed to be a very close race. We were only up 2 or 3 points in the polls, and Tom Suozzi won by 8 points. That was supposed to be a big bellwether that was going to tell us a lot about this election. And we kicked their ass, frankly, in that election. And so I think, you know, you've also seen it in Trump, right? Trump, the struggle that I mentioned has shown up with Trump in the early states. He's been underperforming polls. In 2020, he overperformed polls. This election, he's underperforming polls. He's showing a sign of weakness that when people have had to make up their mind, they went with Nikki Haley, they went with other candidates, because at the end of the day, he really is an ugly figure. I mean, the Republicans have rallied behind an historically ugly candidate. And I think that when people have gone in, when they've had to consider Trump 2024, who I think is far weaker and more degraded and more diminished than he was in 2020, you know, he's really struggled. And another example of that is the problems they're having raising money. I mean, they're having enormous financial problems on the Republican side, which is another sign of no confidence by Republican voters in his leadership.
Let me tell you, the pathway for a victory throughout this country has been laid out. And interestingly, much of it has been laid out by the Republicans for us, right? The Republicans made sure that every woman knows she's under attack, and we have the examples to prove that women are, in fact, under attack. That women, as far as the Republican orthodoxy is concerned, they don't care about the lives of women. They care more about the lives of fetuses and their ideological direction. So that is one thing. Likewise, it is there that the policies that they support when it comes to employment, when it I mentioned in the title that I believe there is going to be a landslide, not only nationally, but also locally. Let me give a great example. All we see from Republicans here in the count in Harris County, we passed a bill similar to a test program for a basic income program to see how it works. And it was passed. And as soon as people were ready to get it, the Texas Attorney General filed suit, and the conservative Supreme Court ultimately today blocked it, or yesterday blocked it. So as these checks were going to go out to people to start giving them a hands up, they saw a rich criminal attorney general just snatch it out of their hands, because he would hate giving families a $500 check to give them a hand up, but he doesn't mind giving millions of your money, subsidies. And that's just local, right? And this is something that's happening nationally over and over again. Every type of law being supported by Republicans are punitive. Even the border, which they claim to be a big problem, as soon as a solution comes about, that is the toughest immigration bill that I don't agree with, but Biden was willing to sign it. A tough immigration bill that came out, and I don't even remember the points in the bill. They came out against it, which means they continue the status quo. The entire pathway for victory and showing that these guys are nothing but charlatans is there. And if Democrats just walk that path, they will walk directly into victory.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly.
There we go. I've got you now, my friend. Talk to me.
Ray, all right. Yeah, I was a little behind on the video, so I thought we were live, but I was a little behind on my feed. But yeah, man, I just wanted to say to what you were saying, you know, you said something, I think yesterday or the day before. It's so funny when they want to give, you know, struggling Americans a crumb, you know, they make us think about it when they themselves have basically taken the whole loaf of bread, you know, and, you know, yeah. I just don't see that right. Like, people like Trump just keep on doing what they do. And I love how that man said what Trump is and who he is and what America can be. And the thing about Trump that just flabbergasted me, quite frankly, the brainwashing and the cult of personality that he is that, you know, it's Republicans saying that. It's like, I've never been a bigger, I never thought in my lifetime that I would say I'm a Liz Cheney fan. And that's just because she doesn't stand by idly and just let people say that Trump is not going to be that bad for America. She stands there. But if you can't take that advice from somebody in your own party, then what are you going to take? Like, what is it that Trump has sometimes, and I probably know the answer to that, but what is it that Trump has other than his bombastic, you know, braggadocious, you know, whatever, you know, and like the guy said, you know, he lied to the union. He said he was going to do this. Do you love me now? You know, he'll say people just haven't figured out. I can't understand why people haven't figured out this, and I'm trying, and I'm really trying to, you know, be sensitive. This sucker really just will say anything to make people like him. And that's it. Anything to make people like him, and anything to get what he wants.
And
people figure that out?
Yeah. They figured it out. He doesn't execute, and they know that. But the thing about it is, there is a group of folks here that want to stick it to the rest of us, and they don't mind sticking it to themselves because it gives them pleasure in us not getting. You see, this is what they do. They divide people. And after they divide people, they make it that you want to hurt that other person so badly that you don't mind getting hurt yourself. Let's give an example. Look at Brother C-Sack is in here. Hey, Norman Reynolds is in the house. Welcome, Brother Norman. I haven't seen you in a while. Linda asked about you yesterday, and I told her I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, here's the thing. They have a fault. Like, let's use one of our brothers in the chat right now, Mike C-Sack. Mike C-Sack is a nice guy, but his sole goal is to get back at the libs, right? And he will support the policies that screws him. I know what he does as for a living. And he screws himself because of who he supports. And he know deep inside, he's not a dumb person. Deep inside, he knows it. But he hates that other side more than he hurts the pain that he's going to feel. And as I don't know if you listened to the guy that came on that just endorsed Biden, the union that just endorsed Biden. Listen to what he said. He said, I am not going to worry about those who I won't change. People in the union, people that are in the union getting the benefits from the policies Biden passed, who lost under Trump. Listen to this. There are union people that lost wages under Trump because he didn't give them the protections they needed as a union. He didn't give them the infrastructure bill. So they got hurt. Now Biden comes and he while under Trump, it was always infrastructure week that never occurred. Biden gave them the infrastructure, not week, the infrastructure decade. So all these projects are going to be being built out year after year after year, meaning these guys are going to have employment year after year after year. But interestingly, if they reelect Trump, a lot of the monies that Trump is going to try to pass back as tax cuts to the wealthy will harm some of these projects that are already on the books. These guys don't get it. So what the union guy said he's going to do is he's going to work with the 15 to 20% of the people in his union, of the MAGA part of his union, that are redeemable. And that's who he's going to work with. And that's all you can do. But guess what? That is enough to win the election in a landslide. But you have to do the work. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, and I mean, basically, I just don't see how, and with all due respect to your boy, Mike C-Sack, you know, and a lot of these people, I wish I could see where you say they're nice people, because I can't see anything nice about a person who will literally like cut off their nose to spite their face just to troll another segment of society that you have more in common than you have apart.
Let me tell you where the nice comes in. It's sick. And you just nailed what I was going to say. Think about this. You have a sister, okay? You have a sister. And your sister, you know, has a mental problem. And mental problems can be as simple as real chemical problems, or that you just wired, that you heard so much right wing stuff that you got rewired incorrectly. Now, it's a mental disease. It's a health problem. Do you stop loving your sister? When your sister says certain things, you know it's not coming from her intellect. It's coming from her disease. And that is how I am able to work with everybody. When people make no sense, I look at the humanity in them. And after looking at the humanity in them, it keeps me open for the possibility that they can be cured. And that's my goal. Go ahead, brother.
want to be like you when I grow up, Egberto, but I'm still working on it. But I enjoyed this evening.
It's okay.
Opining with you.
Brother, let me tell you something, okay?
Oh, I'm still here.
All of us don't have to do this, okay? I'm just saying, enough of us need to be able to engage everybody. I am not asking everybody to put themselves on the line to do so. Okay, that's all. So, I mean, you're absolutely right on that. Brother Reynolds says there is no logic to the position that the GOP diehards take. The GOP entire framework is hurt the Democrats. And that's what I said. Absolutely so. Anyway, Ray, anything else you want to say before I move on?
No, sir. I'm just going to sit back and listen and shout out to, I think Brother Harry had shouted me out one morning. So if he's listening, shout out to you, Brother Harry. I always appreciate when you give feedback on the show as well. So PDR
Posse, brother. Appreciate
all in this together. That's all.
PDR Posse. Hey, you know, thank you very much. I'll talk to you later. Take care of the bit. Let me tell you what I love about the PDR Posse. What I love is this. We have callers that call on our live show on the air. And then we have callers in the live show here. But the one thing that happens all of the times is people cross connect. And on a show, I would have a show on the at the 6 o'clock hour. And somebody will mention something about what somebody said on this show and shout outs and kudos. I love that. That's what we try to build, community. Anyhow. Next item on the list. Remember, I said it's going to be a landslide. I know you prefer to text Michael Rudnin. To each his own, you know. But here are the polls now. Biden was really suffering in the Quinnipiac poll, as I remember, for some time. Now the Quinnipiac poll has it not just a statistic as a that they are both picking up the same amount of people, but Biden is. If you take a look at these polls. That Biden has 52% of women and 41% and Trump has 41% tells me that this poll underrepresents Biden's performance. It underrepresents Biden's performance. It's not a 50-50 thing, or rather, Biden is way over 50 with women. And you know, also there are more women voters, but this polls put him at 46-46 with Trump. That other 8%, I can guarantee you, would make it a 54-41, or rather a 54. What is it? 41 from 8, 9 points. Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it would have Trump, rather Biden not beating him, but in a 3% race, likely an 8% race. And if it goes with all the other candidates, even with all the other candidates in there, it's tied at 37-37. And these polls, you know, it's a snapshot in time, but it's moving in the direction that we said it would move for quite a while now. And I said we are moving into landslide direction. And what do I mean by that? The attention spans of Americans are very, very short. Let's see. Michael says, Egberto, you'll pardon the double. Yes, Biden is winning with women voters because of how badly Republicans recently screwed women's rights. That said, Biden's polling numbers are going to go down due to his real mismanagement of Israel-Palestine crisis, the real insufficient push towards preventing global warming acceleration, and the false perception that the economy and the crime rates are worsened. Those few points about Israel and global warming are what younger people care about most. Democrats are throwing this election away. I think they're getting ready for a recovery on that. On the environment issue, it's going to be a tough slot. It's going to be mostly words because there's going to be no more policies put out there. All the other policies that are going to take place are going to be done on the executive level, which means passing a whole lot of executive orders. And I think there's going to be a lot of fanfare of executive orders in the next few months that are going to be there to do to address just what you said, Michael Rudnin. And again, those of us who are pushing people now to go out there and vote, we have to let them realize that they're not voting for Biden. They're voting for the possibility of progressives having a conduit to get the job done. Remember what I'm saying again. This is very important. We are not voting for Biden specifically. we are voting for a conduit for progressives to get their policies through. Not voting for Biden or voting for Trump gives progressives no conduit at all. And we have to learn how to articulate, and we have to learn how to be smart voters. Everything that you said there, Rodney, about what Biden isn't doing is correct. We pulled Biden kicking and screaming for the policies that supported the poor when we did that big, massive, I can't even remember what the bill was called. But we gave a sort of basic income. We gave women, family leave. We gave family support subsidies. All these things we did that under a Republican president would have never gone through. So what we have to do with this election is be smart. Those of us with a platform, and all of us have platforms, all of us have spheres of influence. When we hear those things, we have to get the people out there and vote. Paul Fleming says, in the first year Trump was elected, the amount of racist hatred against me increased 2,000%. Why? Because you've got a president normalizing things ahead of the crucial election next week. London Mayor Sadiq speaks to me and Citeo about a rise in hate and bigotry on both sides of the Atlantic. The role of Trump and Sunak and the media's complicity in it all. Full interview. Thank you for that. Michael Reddy says, on the environment, Biden had Build Back Better that was insufficient on its face, yet he still failed to realize. On Israel-Palestine, there is an ongoing genocide, ongoing ethnic cleansing in progress. Gaza has been leveled into rubble. It's a horror. Young people will rightfully not disregard these issues, and they shouldn't. They should not disregard the issues. But what they need to do is make the decision. I mean, their decision is, okay, so we let Donald Trump win. What do you think Donald Trump is going to do for the Palestinians? The thing about it is, I completely am in disagreement with Biden's agenda on disregard. But I know that it's late. folks, I got to get out of here. It's 4:01. Why did somebody tell me? Norman Reynolds says, a presidency is also a set of progressive staff with expertise that any third party or GOP will not have. Vote Democratic. We have to. Anyway, folks, please support the program. How can you support the program? Please make sure to go to politicsdoneright.com/support. politicsdoneright.com/support. That is an all-encompassing link to all the ways you can support us. Alternatively, you can become a patron, politicsdoneright.com/patron. politicsdoneright.com/patron. And you can decide, I want to get the books. I want to get Willie's books. politicsdoneright.com/books. But I tell you what, I'd love everybody to do. I need people to, I am about 26 or so from 100 paid subscribers on my newsletter, which has over 9,000. Please consider subscribing to the newsletter. It's less than giving me a coffee a month. Less than giving PDR a coffee a month. HPTA, go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. politicsdoneright.com/newsletter and become a paid subscriber. You will ensure that we can continue putting out our message. It is extraordinarily important that we continue. Thank you so kindly for listening. I got to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right. And you guys know how I end this baby. I am what? Out.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.